All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Coming in Hot is presented by Betano. The game starts now. Here are your hosts, Brent Wallace, Jason York, and Bobby Ryan.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Coming in Hot. Brent Wallace alongside Jason York, Bobby Ryan. Gentlemen, big weekend. The NHL playoffs get underway. Rumored that Patrick Waugh is going to be maybe a potential head coach of the Ottawa Senators. Could we re-sign Alex DeBrincat for less money? Lots to chat about. As always, the show brought to you by Betano. Go to betano.ca. How was your weekend? Let's just start with making sure you guys are okay.
I feel like, Yorkie, were you on the golf course all weekend? My weekend was good. I hung with the kids. I did lots of pool time, some church, zero golfing. But I saw the new Spider-Man movie, which I did not know was animated. So there's 2.5 hours I'm not getting back. but yeah, it was a good weekend here.
Yeah, good weekend. Bob, you are correct. Golf Friday, golf yesterday. Little barbecue last night at my sister's, and big news, my daughter is going to be getting married next year. So we checked out a wedding venue out in the little past your neck of the woods, Wally, out in Beckwith. Got to see this place. Stonefields, got to give them a shout out. Unbelievable venue. Yeah, it was great. Yeah. Fantastic. So
sounds like you locked it in and now you're paying for a discount.
Going for the cash only deal.
Bobby and I will both be ushers for you. Is your daughter, is she not engaged to my former neighbor's son? Is that right?
Former neighbor's son.
Vasslet. Or is that your son?
Oh, that's my other son. That's Matthew.
It's such a small world. Like your, my literally next door neighbor or across the street is now dating your son. His son.
She's a unbelievable hockey player. She plays at Penn State. Great player. Right. So shout out to Maya.
Maya, yes. All right. So I don't know where to begin, but I really feel like the whole DJ Smith, by the way, the Sens have not been sold for any tuning in.
we've come to the conclusion where we're just not even going to talk about that.
No, you know what I wish we would have done is like it's all agreed to not shave or something until the team was sold, and be funny how we all look at the moment, all growing long beards, and we'd all look 900. This thing is exhausting. Okay, so the whole DJ Smith not really getting a vote of confidence, and then to hear rumors coming out, Darren Dreger is the one that reported that the perhaps the Andlauer group is going to bring in Patrick Waugh as their head coach with Steve Staios as the GM, or Patrick Waugh in some capacity, I would suspect head coach. Gentlemen, can we get your thoughts on what you see this as?
York, I'll let you go first. Go ahead. Well, I can just piggyback your answer because I think we're going to agree.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. He just won the Memorial Cup, so he's the hottest, I guess, coaching prospect out there. I can tell you this. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I don't know a lot about Patrick Waugh, the coach, except what you hear in the media. I know more about Patrick Waugh, the player, as I played the majority of my career against him. So all I can say is, hey, the guy just won the Memorial Cup, so he's doing something right. He's being able to reach players at that level, which are young players, which is the NHL is a young league right now. So I'd be lying to you if anyone that says to you, I know what Patrick Waugh is as a coach, is full of shit, because you don't know what type of coach he is unless you played for him, unless you're in the room, unless you have some young guys that you really know that played for him that can tell you that. Otherwise, you're full of shit and you're just going off what the media says about a guy. So, hey, he won the Memorial Cup. So obviously the guy knows what he's doing. He knows how to get the young kids.
I agree with a lot. I know some guys that played for him that didn't particularly have the best experience, but I think the last time Patrick Waugh came in, he was, I guess, crass and hard and almost unfair, but I think he went back. So this is the thing, right? A lot of times guys come in and they don't understand what coaching at the NHL level is like compared to juniors or the college level. It's a much different thing, right? You're managing players and people that have families and lives outside of the rink, right? So it's different. And I think you learn how to, my guess is that he's probably matured a ton as a coach in the last few years, right? I think you go back to that level. Now you win at that level. You win the Memorial Cup. You don't just win at the level. You win the Memorial Cup. That's a major difference between winning the league. You go on and win the Memorial Cup. You're the hottest ticket. But my guess is that he's matured. He's probably, from what I understand, the intensity as a coach was way too much the first time. Yeah. And I think if you get to be in the room a little more, you get a sense of it and you calm down. And I think he'd be a great coach at the level. Does he fit the Sens on what they're doing? I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know anything about him, but my guess is that he's matured a lot and he's probably not as hard as he was.
Wally, how long is it ago when Waugh was in the league? That was quite a while ago, right?
Like 13, 14. Do you remember his first game against the Ducks? He tried to go over the glass to fight Bruce Boudreau.
Was that his first game?
It was close. Yeah, it was up there.
So this is just to piggyback on what Bob said, times were really different then. And the way to get the players was different. Take a perfect example right now. Like, look at the press conference that Kyle Dubas had the other day. Like, how many mentions of his wife and his family, and he gets hired as the president of the Pittsburgh Penguins. So that's a much softer touch you have to have now with the players. Otherwise, you're not going to be successful. Players just have way too much power, too much money. They're not going to listen. That's why I know we'll talk about this later. That's why it'll be very interesting to see once we start talking about Babcock. But for why, I agree, Bob. Like, hey, you learn, you adapt. Patrick Waugh's not a stupid guy. Like, he went back and probably made some changes and some adjustments, like Bob said. But he came from the era where you were told what to do and you just did it. And if you didn't, you were benched or somebody fought you in the dressing room or like it was just a totally different area. It was like the jungle back then. So yeah, no, well, he's definitely going to get a job somewhere. That's someone's going to hire him because he's proven he can win.
He was rumored to go to Columbus, which Mike Babcock is. There's also the New York Rangers, which is another rumor as well. But okay, here's a couple of points that I'll make. One, as you guys know, high-end Hall of Fame players just see the game differently and coach it differently because of that, right? So And I think
he's a goalie. He's a goalie, though. Don't forget about that. He's a goalie. They're total.
Sure. But all I'm saying is, are they always able to relate to everybody? Because when Bobby was right, when he came in, he was very militant, very regimented, because he wants to win and has that same passion that he took to the ice. It just doesn't always translate. But yes, he did win the Jack Adams in his first year. He had a great team. The issue, I don't think he's changed that much. And the reason is he wanted all the power in Colorado, which is why he left. He wanted to make all the decisions and be above Joe Sakic as the GM. That didn't work out. So he goes back to Quebec, where he has all the power and all the control. And that's, again, why he is able to be successful, because that's the way he wants to be. I don't know that that translates back to the NHL anymore. That's what I see.
Yeah. Well, maybe he gets all the power somewhere. Like, you look how desperate teams can get, like when you get to a pushing point, and Columbus is out there right now, where if you don't win, you know, you're the next guy that's getting fired. So you will do things that you might not thought you would have done before, because now you have to win. And that's what happens in the league. It's still, no matter what people say, it is still a results driven business. You can be as nice as you want and as soft as you want and as great with the media as you want, but if you don't win, you will be fired eventually. Not right away, but eventually they'll get you.
Yeah. And he's not getting all that power in a place like New York, right? Maybe in a Columbus where that, because you know, they're giving some power to Mike Babcock, that's for sure. But at the same time, you're not getting that in a place in New York. There's such a divide sometimes between GMs and coaches in this league, right? And those guys go to battle against each other more than people think. And most of the time it's a good working relationship, but those guys have to go into a room together and make decisions. And a lot of times they don't agree. So I don't think you can do it at this level, have all the power and do both and coach the team. I think the coach has to stay the coach and has to stay in his room, and the GM has to do his thing as well. So I don't see the fit there for essentially not a rookie coach, because he's won a Jack Adams. He's been in the league for 3 years, but to come back in, and just for an organization to cede all that power, I don't see it.
Okay, here's a question that I have for both of you, because it seems like sometimes those coaches, if they're really hard on players, have a short shelf life. I think of John Tortorella or even Patrick Waugh, maybe, I don't know. I don't know if Mike Babcock falls into that, because he coached for a long time in his places. But you've got an Ottawa team. It's not close to obviously winning a cup, but it's on the verge of moving up and having a chance perhaps in 3 years to be that type of team. Is this a guy that you want who can get results quickly or use that kind of militant style to get it done?
See, this is what to me, this team hasn't given up on DJ, and I really want to see DJ get the chance to take the team.
Seems like the GM has. But anyway.
That's fair. That's fair. Very fair. But I don't know. I think there's probably, I'd like to see this play out for another year with DJ. Let's take the cup out of the equation and let's just hope they make the playoffs and say that. We haven't seen a DJ team in the playoffs. I love the style that the Sens play. They have a little bit of everything. They can play every game, and the team plays that way for DJ. They work hard underneath of them. I don't know why you switch a thing right now.
Okay, hold on. I got to add. Okay, Bobby, wait a sec. Because everybody watching right now wants to pull their hair out when you saying you love the way the team plays. What defensive structure do the Ottawa Senators play, Bobby? You played it. Tell me what it is.
They need to get tighter, and they need to change something there. That's I'm not talking about structure. I'm not talking about anything like that. I like the way they play. They play hard. They put their work boots on. They like their coach, and they go to work. They have good special teams. The power play is good. Penalty kill is getting better. They need goaltending. They need six defensemen you can throw on the ice. There are answers to be made and changes to be made that before you change a head coach that's brought some of these players along for years.
This is the thing, and just again, I kind of agree with Bob here, because you've got one player in particular, actually more than one, Tim Stutzle just had. So I hate using the word obviously, because I'm sure not everybody uses the word obviously. So obviously he's got a way to he's pushing the right buttons with Tim Stutzle. He's pushing the right buttons with Brady Tkachuk. And those are your two franchise players up front. And hey, let's not forget about a kid that just came in and had arguably one of the best defensive rookie seasons as in Ottawa Senators history in Jake Sanderson. So a lot of players have developed under the watch of, I know people don't want to hear it, but you can't deny it, that the DJ is doing something right in the dressing room to get through to players to make them play at this level and to say, wow, the players are stars. Well, there's a lot of stars on a lot of teams that you don't get results from. And for me, it's just so impressive how Sanderson, the year Stutzle had, and Brady Tkachuk. So, and it's no secret that Tkachuk is he's a supporter of DJ Smith. He's a big time supporter of DJ Smith. So I'm of the mind where I wouldn't mind, you know, if let's say they do decide to go status quo, let's give this coaching staff another shot here. I'd like to see them bring in another coach, another support guy. For me, I'd love to see cherry pick a really good assistant coach. I'll throw a name at you right now. A guy like John Gruden. John Gruden is one of the best coaches in the league for defensive systems, defensive structure. He ran the show in New York when Barry Trotz was there. Very smart guy, former defenseman, used to be in the U.S. development program, and a lot of defensemen have developed under his watch. And I'm not saying bring him in, but just an example. If you're going to keep the coaching staff, I would add another guy to the staff, and a guy that's going to come in and help with your structure.
Why can't you just mention former Ottawa Senator John Gruden?
Oh, great guy too. Love Grudes.
Yeah. No, he's just not a smart in Boston. Guy. He's in Boston.
Well, here's the thing. You got to look at what teams are doing and try and figure out why were the Boston Bruins so good? What changed for the Boston Bruins to make them play with that kind of structure? And defensively, they were just so good during the regular season. Oh, look at their assistant coaches. You got John Gruden. You got Chris Kelly. Two of the smartest guys, and Chris Kelly is another name. Like, wouldn't you love to see Chris Kelly come back and work for the Ottawa Senators? Like, just guys like that. That's one thing I think the Sens staff is missing: a guy that's not that far removed from the game that can come in and give you a little more perspective.
Yorkie, before we got to move on, but did you play with Jason Smith as an assistant coach in Ottawa?
No, but I know Smitty. I know Smitty.
But he's that type, right? Like he wasn't that far removed, and he came in, was on the bench. He was the D guy. Is that where we're getting at here?
It doesn't. And you know what? I'm not. It's just there's certain players that just see the game really, really well, and they're smart guys. You know, Kel's Bobby. He's just a smart, smart guy. And listen, you can't deny what Boston did. And I'm just saying one example. And if you want to change things up, and let's say they decide to keep the staff, listen, in the new NHL, everybody always talks about firing the coach. The assistant coaches do so much of the strategic game planning systems. They're the guys that are talking to the players more on the day-to-day basis because they develop trust with the players, where a player might not go to the head coach. He talks to the assistant coach, and that doesn't get talked enough about. Your support staff as a coach is so important because those are the guys that do a lot of the heavy lifting.
It's so true.
I want to see Jacques Martin come back in some capacity. I'm dead serious.
He's consulting right now. He's consulting for Kingston in the OHL.
Is an extremely brilliant hockey mind who knows how to teach the game.
Jacques's great, but I don't know where Jacques's at in his life right now. I know he's in Florida in the winters. I'm sure he'd love to. He's a smart guy. But I
want him back. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, so good man. I got a question coming up after our sponsor reads it. I want to see if we can start a debate. So, because it's early, it's Monday, and why not we kick off the week with an argument. Gentlemen, as always, this show brought to you by Betano. Go to betano.ca, where the game starts now. Download the app. The award-winning app is state-of-the-art, by the way. The fastest, most user-friendly, and advanced betting app for your mobile or tablet. You can bet in on the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs if you want. Have the amazing world of sports with you at Betano. Hundreds of betting options for events. And try same-game parlays with BetBuilder. Also live in-game betting with the most competitive odds in the market. Betano. Must be 19 or older. Please play responsibly. The game starts now. Yorkie, you were away, so this is yours.
Okay. Renfrew Pro Tape, the original hockey tape, as Bob always likes to say, it's hand terrible. Doesn't make your hands terrible, just makes it easier to tear it when you're taping the last little part of your stick. It's moisture resistant. Well, no. Hey, you say the tape is hand terrible. You can take that two different ways. Anyhow, it's moisture resistant, helps with puck control. It's what the pros use. It's available at all major retailers. Hit them up at renfrewpro.com. It's the one with the green core. And don't forget, you can give them a follow on Instagram at renfrewpro. Don't forget to tag your teammates for unlimited entries you can do and share your story for 10 bonus entries.
Here's a new one. Now, Bobby, I know you're a real estate mogul, so you might want to pay attention to this. Our good friends, BEI, known for their construction, also have started. Well, they haven't started. They've been doing it for a while. BEI Homes in the Bonnetshire Valley. You can get in on, let's say, one of the best places to buy a home right now. Minimum. It's 500 grand they start at. They are building quality homes, as always, in the Ottawa Valley. At the Wren development, you can escape the city and big city price tags, relocate to the Wren subdivision built by BEI Homes in the town of Cobden, just an hour west, by the way, the Canadian Tire Center. Enjoy the vibrant small town atmosphere with all the modern conveniences. Go visit, by the way, Bonnetshire Homes if you want some information. They will help you out. Give them a shout. By the way, 7-year warranty with the try-on home warranty. And finally, I think it's finally AG1. This is why I'm so peppy in the mornings, because I take my AG1. They get 75 multivitamins and nutrients involved, high quality vitamins. Give them a shout at athleticgreens.com/comingin hot for your purchase of 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs. They will give you free. Taste great, feel great. Give them a shot at AG1. Oh, boys. Coming up this week, June 10th, I want to read it like I did the other day, like a monster truck one, but I'll probably just hang on and not do it. Those who don't know, Nunez, it's the fight with UFC fight 289, Nunez versus Aldana. She is the best female fighter in UFC history. I tried to get arguably, but there is no arguably the way that people continue to talk about the way that she fights. She has been... amazing in her fights. So Amanda Nunez is known as the GOAT of women in combat sports. She's the first female and third athlete to hold UFC titles in two divisions simultaneously. So that is on the card at UFC 289, which is in Vancouver on Saturday. Also, there's six Canadians on the card. Mike Malott, whose brother plays for the Manitoba Moose, and he's arguably one of the best Canadian fighters. He's on the card. If you want to check out the pay-per-view event, go to www.welcometo.ufcfightpass.com, and I'll say get in on the action, but it sounds like it should be a great fight. There, I'm done. So I let you guys off the hook today.
I got off the hook really well there.
Are you awake from your nap?
All right. Oh, you know what? When I saw that new board for Bonnetshire Homes, I was like, if Wally just sprung this on me, we're right on site.
See, I'll take care of you. The question I have that may start a debate, you can only pick one of these three players to have on your team next year.
Oh, here we go. I like these kind
Tim
of questions.
Tim Stützle, Brady Tkachuk, or Jake Sanderson?
Oh.
Oh, well, it's too early.
Which guy? So you've got your number one center, Tim Stützle, leading scorer. You've got your captain, the heartbeat of your team in Brady Tkachuk, or arguably your best defenseman in the next couple of years.
I'll go first. All I can say is I can go from, unless they change the officiating in the playoffs and how they call the game in the National Hockey League playoffs right now, and you see the effect, the game right now is played in such tight spaces. It's all about getting to the front of the net. It's all about dragging your teammates into the fight. It's about leadership. I'm going to go with Brady Tkachuk. Because if your goal is to win the Stanley Cup, man, it's about winning the battles in the trenches. It's about, you know, didn't we nickname him he's a special ops Marine captain,
something like that. Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, I'm taking the Marine. I'm taking Brady Tkachuk. As much as I'd love to have all three, man, Wally, I need an old fashioned after that one. That's a tough one. Give me a smoke or something.
I liked everything you said, but I'm taking Stützle. And I don't think you can go wrong, but I certainly agree. If your goal is to win the cup, Brady might be your guy, but I just think the things that Stützle does with the puck and the way that he distributes and the way that he creates space and the way that he's on his edges, he could beat you five different ways, which means I think that he could play in the playoffs.
It's tough, right?
Yeah, I don't like the Monday morning. It's only 8 a.m. here, so it's like, damn you, Wally. Wait till you guys see me on Wednesday at 5 a.m. Idaho time.
Ed, Bob, hey, this goes about everything I believe about the game, that you win down the middle with center icemen and defensemen, and I'm picking a winger. Like, crazy.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
All right.
I got to take I have to. I want to take Brady, too, because of everything that Yorkie said, but for the interest of the debate, I got to take Stützle. I don't think you can replace a player like that. You can't replace any of three of them.
Well, that's
the
thing.
What a shit question for a Monday morning. I'm taking Stützle.
You know what? It's funny.
Who you taking?
Jake Sanderson is my guy.
Nice.
Okay. You need.
Why? Explain yourself.
Because defense wins playoffs. Yeah. If you were to talk about the Vegas Golden Knights or the Florida Panthers, typically you're starting with, did you see their blue line? Or Alex Pietrangelo and Brandon Montour. You have to win with a solid blue line. And I think you need to start there.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, they're totally out of random right now. To your point, when star players learn how to play hard, I can't believe the way Jack Eichel's playing. Like what he's doing, Bob. The first round, I'm like, man, this guy is awful. Remember how bad he was?
Yeah, he wasn't not good. Yeah, he was not good
he's
early.
So strong on the puck, and he's playing well defensively. He's tracking back into the D zone. Man, what a difference. Like, and who would have thought it? So, yeah, to your point, that's the thing. When you get star players, I like to call it's kind of like Crosby. They play with a fourth liner's mentality of work ethic.
Yeah,
that's how you win. That's how you win. When those guys buy in and play like that. So, yeah, it's tough not to listen. It's tough not to go against Stützle. Like, the guy's a freak.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's got an edge. He's got a little edge to him. He does it the wrong way. He's got some bite. So I don't think he's going to be a guy that you have to worry about in playoffs disappearing or hiding. I think he's going to elevate. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But you got to learn, right? Like, Jack Eichel hadn't played in the playoffs. He had to learn. And in the first round, he wasn't good because he didn't know what to expect.
Some guys never learn, though. Some guys never learn. They don't have it in them. They play hard, but hard's not good enough. You got to dig to that, whatever, that 110%.
Okay. So we're moving on I hate to bring up the names.
Don't do it.
So everybody take a drink as I mentioned Alex DeBrincat. Yeah, exactly. So Pierre Dorion was talking the other day about DeBrincat and about getting him signed. And he made an interesting point that if he could get him signed closer to his actual salary than his AAV, they can qualify him for 15, or they can take him to R basically and get a 15% reduction. So at $7.85 million, would you re-sign Alex DeBrincat for that money if you could, compared to the $9 million qualifying offer?
So I want to just set the table here.
Are you bringing up Cole Caulfield?
No.
Okay.
After this year, regardless, if you take him to ARB, he's a complete free agent, right?
Correct. It's only a 1-year deal.
If you take him to ARB and force him to play for that, he is going to play out this year and see you later. So
yeah,
like, yep. If that's okay. if that's your goal, like, he's gone.
But if you can get him for 1 year,
he's got a foot out the door immediately.
See you later.
Yeah. Sure, I don't argue that, but I'm just saying if you can get him for 1 year, hope he puts up the numbers and trade him at the deadline. Now, the whole playoff thing becomes an issue, right, of trying to get into the postseason and moving out a top six forward. But can you not use that as a piece to bring in something else? Now, we'll get to the trading for potential stuff now. I'm just wondering, would he not be considered a deal at 7.85 for a season?
What do you think, Bob? I need to digest this for a sec.
At 7.85, for a year, yes. Yes, I would, if I'm, you know, they're going to be a cap team soon. Maybe as early as next year, but at 7.85, you got a guy that is that could go off for 35 to 40 goals, that does settle things down on the power play on that side, that does enter the zone well and create space. He does a lot of, and he's got a shot that not many of the other players have on the team. He does do a lot of good things. At 7.85, I don't like it for a long term. I like it for a year because you have the asset and you can do something with the asset, whether that becomes a trade piece or you just hold on to him because he's enjoying a great year and you make the playoffs and then you really come to him and say, look what we've built. Take a little less off that top 7.85 and stay here long term. So I'd be comfortable with that. But if you do that 7.85 at ARB, he's gone. He's gone. Yes.
So here's the thing. If Ottawa should have a good year this year. So if you do the ARB thing and you take him for 7.85, and by the time it's time to trade him, why would you trade somebody when the team is doing well and disrupt everything? This is the problem with it. It's a game of chicken, and the player holds all the power. And Ottawa's seen too many players walk out the door for nothing in the past. So I would be sure at that number. Is that a great number? I totally agree with Bob to come in, play for 1 year, what you get, especially the regular season. Regular season DeBrincat is going to help your power play immensely. He's going to score a bunch of goals in the shootout. He's going to be great in 3-on-3, all things in the regular season that are vital for getting you to the playoffs. And then, you know, if you're doing well and your power play is clicking at the top of the league, where you probably should be based on what we saw this year, that's when it's going to be, oh man, now we're going to trade him.
Yeah.
Because if we don't trade him, we're losing him for nothing next year. Versus you make a deal at the draft. I just think it's so important to build your culture at training camp, to come into the season, especially now with new ownership, whatever the coaching staff's going to be. And from day one, you know, you come to training camp, you got your t-shirt on of what your slogan for the season is going to be. And these are your players. This is your power play. And then at the deadline, you're adding pieces to your already strong core that's going to help you get over the top instead of making a huge trade at the deadline. Man, I just don't like it. I would do it. And this is where the whole ownership thing of how long it's taken is really going to affect the Senators, because this is a colossal move that needs to be made. So I'm in the mind of, yeah, I like the number, but I wouldn't sign him to the 1 year deal, because man, the only time you're trading him is if things have gone south during the season. And then man, I would do it at the draft. I would do it at the draft because you have every team in the league there willing to deal with, instead of just a small basket of what you'll have at the trade deadline. And so it's tough. It sucks for everybody because of how long this has dragged out with the ownership sale.
Yeah. Yeah. So let me put it to you this way, Bob, because Yorkie already knows the answer to this. Who would you, if you could pay both these two players the same dollar amount at 7.85, Cole Caulfield or Alex DeBrincat, who do you take?
Cole Caulfield.
No, really?
Yeah. Like right now, Cole isn't Cole quite a bit younger?
Yeah. Hold on, 1987, 2001. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's 4 years younger, 1997.
I think he's going to be – he might not pan out to be as good as Alex DeBrincat is in a lot of areas, but if I'm just picking one right now, I'm picking the younger player that can continue – like. So I didn't even know we had that feature. Nice to see you, Gavin. Caulfield 22. Look, I'm learning. You learn something new. Somebody's piping stuff down to let me know, but I'm taking Caulfield. DeBrincat's proven he scored 40 goals. He's also played with Patrick Kane, and he's also been on the best power play in the league. Caulfield scored a lot of goals and done a lot of good things with a really shitty hockey team in Montreal. That's
okay. Wait 1 second, Bobby Ryan. Okay. Cole Caulfield had 26 goals this season, 36 points. Alex DeBrincat had 27 goals, 66 points this season. The year before, Caulfield had 23 goals, 43 points. Alex DeBrincat, 41 goals, 78 points. That was in Chicago, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm not discrediting that Alex DeBrincat is a much better player right now. I'm just saying, if you're going to ask me who I'm going to pay today for the future, it's going to be Cole Caulfield. He might not pan out to get those amount of points, but look who he's got around him. Suzuki's a hell of a player. They got some good pieces there. How good was he during the playoffs when they went on that cup run and he stepped in the league? He was phenomenal. So he's not proven, but he's got a lot of room to grow, and I think he's going to be a really good player. So I would take him.
This is the first time Bob and I have disagreed. You're always trying to.
Wally's just over there. Heart rate's 160 right now. He's so pumped.
So the year Colt Caulfield had all that success was the COVID year, wasn't it?
Yes, it
was. When nobody was really in shape, and like Montreal went to the finals, didn't they? Or the final four or something. Like, it was crazy. It was insane. Man, people. Okay, DeBrincat fans are gonna like this. I like DeBrincat way more as a player. Way more. I think he's got more jam. I think I saw that at times last year. He's proven, and I just think Caulfield's basically been handed the keys to the friggin' camper and everything. Here you go, kid. Like, he's been given everything there, and sure, he's skilled, he's great, and he's going to be a really good goal scorer. But man, I find him very one-dimensional, and I just defensively, I know he's young, but I think DeBrincat, DeBrincat to me is more of a complete player, and I wouldn't have Cole Caulfield on my team at that price. I think come playoff time, man, I hate how he plays. I think he's ultra talented.
Yeah,
it's so tough to judge on that Montreal Canadiens team because they're just so thin. Like, you look at their D. I love Suzuki. Like, there's a guy that can be on my team any day of the week, but. Man, Caulfield's been given so much. I like DeBrincat better. So I'm paying DeBrincat.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
By those who don't know yet, Cole Caulfield signed an 8-year extension at $7.85 million per season. So
he can score, man. He can score.
To me, they're very similar in that they play left wing. They're one's 5'7", one's 5'8". Like, they're both that kind of same size. I like Alex DeBrincat better. He's a bona fide, proven National Hockey League goal scorer. I don't care who passed him the puck. He still has to put it in the net. And you can watch a ton of players that shoot puck at the goalie. He's a goal scorer. And you have to pay for that. So I'm thinking Alex DeBrincat.
I think if you watch the playoffs right now, it's really tough for smaller players to have success. Like, you look at one player in particular that's having success right now, Jonathan Marchessault, smaller guy. But doesn't he play differently than those two guys? Like, he's got
a lot more jam, I think.
He's got way more jam. He gets to the front of the net. Like, when I watch Caulfield and DeBrincat play, everything's on the outside.
Yeah, both of them.
Their whole game is on the outside. And you guys, we're watching the playoffs. That doesn't work in the playoffs. You're not scoring those wide open one tees from outside the hard areas. It's in front of the net. It's getting to the hard areas. So I don't know. For me, if I'm building a playoff team, I'm not paying either one of them. I don't want either one of them.
We disagree on the players, but I agree on that statement.
I don't want either one of them on my team at $8 million if I'm building a playoff team. I just don't. And it's just, unless from what I'm seeing in the playoffs right now, I don't want either one of them. But that's just me.
Wow. Okay. So I have a theory perhaps on Jonathan Marchessault's fire in the Stanley Cup final. And that's in all of the Vegas Golden Knights for that matter, because if you'll bear with me, the Las Vegas strip club, Larry Flint's Hustler, has offered the Golden Knights platinum VIP access for free lap dances for life if they win the Stanley Cup. So it was said by the manager, the success of the Vegas Golden Knights has played an integral role in boosting our community's morale. As the first professional sports team to debut in Las Vegas, we decided to show our support by extending free lap dances for life in efforts to help motivate and lead the team to victory. So, gentlemen, I ask you, as former National Hockey League players, how much motivation is it to think of you're getting free lap dances for life?
It depends on where. In Vegas, sure. If I was playing in a Columbus, I don't think I'd be as excited. But you know what? The boys probably had a really good laugh about this in the room. Honestly, they probably all taking bets on who's going to get there first and take most advantage of it. But ultimately, none of that matters to those guys inside the room. They talked about it for 2 minutes, laughed about it, and then moved on. That is probably the way it went. If Yorkie could tell you what it's like in those rooms. We didn't get anything offered to us if we had won the cup.
My God.
I was like, free. I want free Sparrow pizza over at the Tanger Outlets for life.
the problem with those kind of establishments, man, it's like 30 bucks a beer in there.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah. Thanks for that. But
it's a great offer, but they're not losing any money on the boys. I'd only be going on 50 cent draft night, I guess. Hey, if I was one of the boys.
It's so funny. There is fine print. It says they must win against the Stanley Cup against the Florida Panthers. So,
that's when you see guys looking for quarters, eh? When the round comes around,
that'll be $1,000 for that round of beers.
The VIP package is worth $1,500, by the way. Your thoughts as we just move quickly through this, we still got to get to Mike Babcock, and I want to touch on Eric Brännström because that makes Yorkie's head explode. Any surprises from game one? I thought, like, you saw the Panthers have been phenomenal on the road, right? I think they'd won 9-10 straight on the road. They started extremely well, and they weren't able to hold it. But this doesn't look like it's going to be an easy series, I don't think.
Yorkie, what do you think?
I thought it was great. I thought that game one was – I really like how Vegas is built. I look at their blue line. They don't get enough credit. They're four lines deep. They're getting. I think they're deeper than Florida.
Yeah.
And Aiden Hill. Nobody has talked about him enough. What he has done. He made a couple. Well, the one paddle down save on the empty net. That game could have went either way. That game was up for debate for 2.5 periods. Aiden Hill, I thought, was the difference. And
Oh, Mark Stone. What more could you say about him? Picking that out of the air, and like they just, to me, Florida has a lot of gamers on that team, led by Tkachuk and Bennett. But that Vegas team, that like I mentioned, Marchessault. Like even and that's the difference. Vegas's skilled guys are gamers. Like you got Jack Eichel buying in right now. This is going to be a really good series. I love both defense corps, both coaches, Cassidy, Maurice, excellent. It's going to be a long series, but could have went either way that first game.
All right.
That was a high stick.
It sure looked like it, didn't it?
It was a high stick. Like, what are we doing? I know you need 100% proof to overturn a goal and the call on the ice, but I'm watching that. I was on the phone with somebody and I was like, oh, that's getting overturned 100%.
I said the same thing.
And then they're like, we have a good goal. And I'm just going, okay. I guess it's not 100% proven, but you can look at where his shoulder is on the ice and you can look at where he touches the puck and it's at his ear.
Stoner's 6'3" too.
Yeah.
He's 6'3".
A high stick. I love Stone. I jumped up and down. I was excited for him when he scored, and I thought it put the game out. It did. It ultimately didn't matter. They didn't score another goal, but it's a high stick. Yeah. You can't miss it. You can't fuck up a call like that in the Stanley Cup Finals. But Vegas is the better team. I took Panthers, obviously, just to try to, you know, shorten the gap between you guys and myself. But Vegas is good, man. Vegas is good. And Mark Stone, how about the coverage he drew on the first goal from Marcia? So everybody just flocks to him and leaves the guy wide open. It's a great and Aiden Hill was phenomenal. It's going to be a good series, though. I think if Panthers can steal a game here on the road tonight, we have a much different series. If they go down 2-0, I'm not too excited about the prospects.
You know what I'm interested in seeing is obviously Matthew Tkachuk or Mark Stone is going to lose a Stanley Cup here. Mm-hmm. They're both in Brady Tkachuk's wedding party this summer.
Ooh,
that's awesome.
Oh, that's incredible.
Isn't that great?
Oh, that's awesome.
You know what?
Imagine if they fight in the third game three and they both got black eyes.
Stoner's not fighting Tkachuk.
You never know.
Stoner's not doing that. But you know what? I remember I lost the gold medal game to Getzlaff and Perry. And then had to play on their line for less than 48 hours later. Niedermeyer was on the team, Pronger was on the team, Getzlaff. So it was four of them. I was just waiting to hear something about it, some kind of chirp. Nothing. Never brought up. We said hi, good game, blah blah blah. We talked about it for 2 minutes. Nobody ever rubbed it in the face. Neither one of those guys is going to do it. You don't really talk about those things. You really don't.
Well, wait a sec. You did a video.
We did do the video, yeah, twice.
Which is awesome.
It turned out good, yeah. God, you know what I remember about that? Corey Perry and I were so hungover on that first video. That's what I remember about it. Because it was like they scheduled it less than 3 days after the tournament, after the season ended. And you know how that goes, Wally. You've been in locker clear out day, and Yorkie, you've been there on both sides of it. They scheduled that and we were like, we're not going to make that. And it's 7:30 in the morning and we're driving up to Anaheim together. And I was like, I hope this is short. It ends up being a 12-hour day. So we had a blast with those videos. We did a good job, but never once did those guys bring it up or rub it in.
Yeah. I think if Vegas wins, Matthew Tkachuk's going to have many more opportunities. Well, you say that, but if you just look at the age of him and we're with Stone right now on his back and the age of that Vegas team, like they don't do it this year, it's going to be tough.
The window's closing
where I think sure. I looked at Florida's roster, man. They've got that core is going to be there for a while, but you never know. The league's just so tough right now, but okay. If you wanted to pick someone, I'd love to see Mark Stone win one just from what he did here in Ottawa and the type of guy he is. But hey, still think it's a pick 'em. Still a pick 'em.
Okay, quickly, a couple of topics before we'll just go to Mike Babcock because we talked about it earlier. We just kind of moved around it.
Yeah.
Thoughts on hearing Mike Babcock is coming back to the National Hockey League with the Columbus Blue Jackets, who, by the way, people forget, just had John Tortorella. Like, I don't know what Columbus is doing, but here we go. So, Bob, I mean,
did you play for him, Bob? Did you play for him?
Torts?
No,
Babcock.
No.
You didn't have him, right?
No. All I know is right now, Johnny Gaudreau is going, no, you gotta be fucking kidding me. that's what's going on right now.
How about him and Line A right now? Eh? They're just.
Oh, God. Could you imagine?
Yeah, oh, they're having nightmares right now.
I forgot about Line A. Yeah.
Oh, he's there.
He's back in Finland just chewing fingernails to the bone. but look, I don't know, Babs. I don't. All I've heard is the stories, and some guys liked them. And if you didn't like them, you hated them, from what I understand. Yeah. What I understood about Torts was everybody loved him. He was hard, but he was fair.
Yes.
And guys loved playing for Torts. I haven't heard that about the other guy. And I don't know. And like, he's not walking into a winning situation by any means. So it's going to be a very interesting follow this year for me to see if he's kind of changed the way he is over the years. My guess is no. I don't think so, man. Yeah, I don't think so. I think he's going to get right back in that room and just, yeah, really?
I
don't love it.
So I know I had Babs in his first ever job in Anaheim. I was on that team when he came in. Here's the difference between John Tortorella and Mike Babcock. Torts is honest. Everything you hear from Torts, you know exactly where you stand.
Mm-hmm.
No mind games. It's just a hard way and an honest way of doing things. And I know guys that have played for Torts and they said, yeah, they loved them because it's, you know where you stand. And I didn't. So I had Babs during training camp, his first job in Anaheim. Brian Murray brought him in. And I heard he's changed a little bit, but back then he tried to end my career. Like he ended two guys' careers, German Titov and Denny Lambert. Denny Lambert played for Anaheim the year before and led the team in fighting majors, fought every game, was just a heart and soul guy. When Babs came in, I'll tell you guys a quick story here about Babcock. He wanted to change the culture. So he called me in the summer and tried to pick my brain. I could tell what he was doing because he's got like a minor psych degree from McGill College. So he fancies himself as a guy that can kind of figure guys out and all that. So when I came to training camp, I'd played the year before on a really bad shoulder. Basically played half the year hurt, came back, won every single test at camp, won the bike test, won the bench, everything. So day two of camp, Babs says, guys, we got to change the culture around here. I'm dividing you guys into an AHL group and an NHL group. So the next day I show up. This is day two of training camp. I don't see my name on the list. He's had the trainers move my gear into the AHL room with Lambert, Titov, and all the guys in the minors. And I had just signed a three-year deal the year before under Pierre Gauthier. So I go right into his office and I'm like, Babs, what the fuck? I go, this is how you treat veterans that show up and set the example for day one of training camp? He's like, Yarky, no. He goes, the guys respect you. He goes, I got to get the attention of the group. Don't worry. You're my guy. Everything's cool. I'm just using you as an example. So basically we had to go practice with the American League group. Well, the NHL group practice. So I called my agent and I'm like, something's going on here. He goes, they just signed you last year. I'm like, I'm telling you. So as training camp went on, we ended up having to practice by ourselves, the three of us. So wow. Imagine this, Bob. You're at training camp. The team practices at 10:30. Lambert, Titov, and myself are practicing at 1 o'clock by ourselves. Ostracized from the entire team. A guy that came to camp and won all the tests, played injured the year before. Long story short, Lambert and Titov never played in the NHL again. Careers were over. They said to me, because my wife just had a baby, we had three kids, they're like, we're going to send you to the minors and try and trade you. And if we can't, well, you don't have to go. And I said, fucking right, I'm going. You got to pay me. They didn't think I would go. So I went, and thank God Nashville saw me. Ray Shiro traded for me for $1. For $1.
You got traded for $1?
And Anaheim had to pay half my salary for the next 2 years. So basically, I went down to the minors. Brad Shaw was the coach down there. Played well, had 4 goals in 5 games, thankfully got out of there because my career could have been over.
Yeah.
And just because he wanted to come in and use guys to change the culture, he brought in a guy named Kurt Sauer, who was his boy from junior, whatever. And listen, this happens all the time in the NHL, but not to this extreme. Yeah. Like he plays with guys' lives. And it's one thing to do that with somebody that showed up, was out of shape, was bad apple, whatever. But man, like, take me out of the equation altogether. 2 players' careers were ended. We're not given a chance to showcase themselves at training camp or at least do something for their careers. But anyway, I went to Nashville, and every game that year when I played for Nashville, I would skate by the bench and I'd yell at Babs. And as time went by, the wound gets a little bit softer, but man, that was my experience with Babs. So tried to end my career. Don't like him. Don't have a lot of good things to say about him, but still, can he come in and win? Sure. The guy's, like I said, it's a results oriented business. The guy's proven he can win. We'll see. He's done stuff to other guys. You talk to, there's other guys that have, everyone has a story. That's my story. But in saying that, I'm not surprised he's back in the league. And everybody has different ways of doing things, and they eventually won in Anaheim. It's just, I don't have a lot of good things to say about him.
Okay. So, 2 things. One, on the media side of things, I always got along really well with him. He was always very good to me. All that I don't have any issues with, because he played that side very, very well. But I've never heard a player who's played for him say anything good about him. So my thing is, if you're Jarmo Kekäläinen, the GM of the Columbus Blue Jackets, do you not go to your players who like Laine and Gaudreau and go, "Hey, I'm thinking of bringing in Mike Babcock"? Like you're hoping they didn't get sprung on.
Oh, they got sprung on. Yeah. No, GMs don't consult on coach hires unless there's a major shift needed in the room, and you have your, like, I don't even know if they have a core group of leadership there in Columbus. That place looked like a dumpster fire last year every time they were on the ice, didn't they?
They were
like,
so bad.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. I don't think I think he's making decisions based on where he wants to go, and the team's going to just say, "Hey, we're following." That's basically what my guess is, that, Kekäläinen is that.
You get to the point, we mentioned this earlier, like his Kekäläinen's job's on the line.
Yeah.
Like he's making millions of dollars being the general manager of the Columbus Blue Jackets. So if he makes a mistake and this coach Kudnik comes in now, doesn't win, he's gone.
Yeah.
Like 100%. He's gone. So you've got to figure out who is out there right now that I know is going to win and preserve my career as a general manager. That's what happens. That's how desperate you get in situations like this. And Babs is a great talker. Like, I'm sure he would have contacted them, had a talk, told them what he could do for them. I will do this, I will do that. And then, like, hey, he's a smart, Babcock's a smart guy. He's a smart guy. He pretends to be the guy from out west. It's a farm guy, but he's a very smart guy. And I'm just like Patrick Waugh too. He's not stupid. He will have made some adjustments and some changes, because he's not going to just want to come in and have the two-year shelf life and be gone. So he'll change as well. But how much will he change? That's going to be the question.
I just can't believe the owner of the Columbus Blue Jackets, the McConnell family, just signed off on this.
Maybe he called the owner. Like, hey, it's not hard to get in touch with people. And owners are searching for answers too. Maybe this was an ownership hire.
You'd have to be involved in this one, because the backlash you should get.
But like, let's be honest. Like, what did Babs, like, let's really be honest here. And what did he do really besides hurt guys' feelings? when you really break it down, like,
you just told me he ended people's careers.
But again, it is, and I'll say this, it's a results oriented business, and feelings.
So do you think the guys in Columbus right now are like, man, I'm pumped. I can't wait to get Mike Babcock in here. Let's get rolling.
Like, to Bob just described Columbus's play last year. What are you going to do? Bring in a guy with a soft approach to that group right now?
You can't do that. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the thing. Somebody else.
They're at a crossroads, Wally. Like, that's why do you think Mike Keenan kept getting jobs all those years? It's like, The NHL has changed, but one thing that hasn't changed, we get a soft coach, we get a nice coach, it's not working, let's bring in the hammer. That's what happens.
Yeah. Sure. Fair enough.
Rinse and repeat.
Quickly, because I know this is Yorkie's favorite topic, is Eric Brännström. As Pierre Dorion said last week, we see him as our number 5D, basically. So I'm going to wait for Yorkie on this. Bobby? Do you see Eric Brännström as the number 5D on this team? And if that's the case, what are you expecting from the Ottawa Senators? Now, I'll preface that by saying the whole season is not predicated on who the number 5D is.
Right. he might be the fifth best defenseman they have in the system, but he's not your number 5D. And again, we always continue to talk about building a team for the playoffs. He's too small to be a 5 or a 6. If I'm rolling a 5 and a 6, I want them to be big. I want them to be mean. I want them to kill penalties and block shots. They might not break the puck out as well, but you're not using them for that role. You're using them for the roles that I just mentioned. So, and you know what? The game's changed. It's a little more fluid. It's a little more, you know, there is room in the regular season for a player like him to be number 5 or 6, but not in the playoffs. You can't be small. And you look at the size of the teams that have had success in the playoffs. They're big 1 through 6 for the most part. Actually, not for the most part. I think it's every team. You cannot have a 5'9 defenseman back there trying to defend against big guys in front of the net. It just doesn't work. I like Brännström. I think he took major strides. If you guys remember him, I hyped him up before the year. I hyped him up at the end of the year. I think he's a great defenseman. He's not a 5 or a 6. He needs to play with another defenseman that can really insulate him. Like the player, don't like the role, if that makes sense.
Yeah. If you look at the top, so we'll cherry pick out of the last 8 teams here in the playoffs that have gone here and for that sample size. And I don't think they're changing how the playoffs are called anytime soon. The only player of that group that I would consider kind of Brännström's stature is Shane Gostisbehere. And you look at what Gostisbehere's role is in Carolina, what they brought him in to do is to run their power play.
Right.
He wasn't brought in to be a 5-6 guy that's going to kill penalties, all the things Bob just described. I think Brännström's a good NHL player. I think he would be miscast in the role with that of the Ottawa Senators. I really think too, and he probably thinks the same thing. Like if he got an opportunity somewhere to be on one of the power play units, to be a guy that plays with, it's also too with when you're a defenseman, it's very important when you're on the ice to play with one of the top two lines.
Yeah.
Because the top two lines love to have D that can move the puck and get the puck on their stick. And vice versa, if you're a defenseman, you love playing with a skilled guy, if you're a skilled guy, because you kind of see the game the same way, and it's all about puck control. But when you're in that bottom pairing D role, you're playing with more of the third, the fourth line, and you're playing against, this is where it's really important. You're playing against the other teams. For example, if you're playing Vegas, you're playing against Carrier.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. If I'm Brännström, I'm not going to have a fun time playing against Carrier because if I'm Brännström, I want to play against a guy like a skilled guy, like a Jack Eichel, because he's going to carry the puck in. He's not going to dump the puck in. And I just got to have a good stick, good gap, defend him hard versus Carrier, who's dumping it in and is going to run my ass through the boards.
So, right.
But that's why when you watch Vegas right now, I'll throw a name at you right now. Prototypical bottom pairing defenseman, Nick Hague.
Yeah.
He's 6. And listen, that's why he's having so much success. He's 6'6". Not every guy in the league 6'6", but if you could get a guy in that mold, you watch, he's been so good in that series. He's hard to play against. You can't hurt him. He goes back for the puck. Oh, you want to hit me? Takes the hit, smiles, takes a punch in the head, boxes guys out, blocks shots, kills penalties. Nick Hague scored 35 goals playing for Mississauga in the OHL.
Really?
35 goals. I watched him, played against my son. He was an offensive defenseman in the OHL. But in the NHL, you're a big body. You're going to be a guy that plays hard minutes for us. And that's what you need in the playoffs. I just think Brännström's I think it's a stretch to have him as a bottom pairing guy. If you want to be a team that goes far in the playoffs, and I'll preface this, I really believe Ottawa can make some noise in the next couple of years.
I do too.
You gotta build this team right now, not just with a small goal in mind. I think a big goal of trying to win it all. And listen, Brännström's going to make a salary that's very, very affordable. Sure, yeah. You can plug him in right now. And the argument of him being a five, making whatever it is, a couple million dollars, is great. But I look long-term, and long-term for me, I see him, for him, better to go somewhere else, be in an offensive role where he should be, versus trying to turn him into a penalty killer at 5'9". He's not 5'11", by the way. He's 5'9". It's a missed cast role, what they're trying to put him into here in Ottawa.
Okay, so is there a fit in Winnipeg for Erik Brännström? And the reason I say that is Connor Hellebuyck is the one goaltender I want to see in Ottawa next year. I want them to figure out a way to get him in to Ottawa. So can you come up with a deal? Is it going to take Alex DeBrincat and Erik Brännström? I don't know.
DeBrincat ain't going to the peg. Why would you trade for DeBrincat with 1 year away from UFA?
Maybe they promise him $9-10 million.
Yeah, I don't know. If I'm Winnipeg, I'm not making the deal. I'm not getting rid of our franchise goaltender for a guy that's going to come in here and play 75 games and leave. Sure, you offer him $10 million, but Winnipeg doesn't want to do that because he's not any different than some of the players they have in the Scheifele's, right? That they haven't gotten it done but with.
I think it's time that those guys are going to have to be moved too, right? I think there needs to be a huge shakeup in Winnipeg.
If you're starting the whole thing over, you're Winnipeg, you're not starting with Alex DeBrincat.
Okay.
No. Okay. No. There's a couple players I like on that roster, though. Like maybe you keep DeBrincat out of the equation. Like you throw in a Logan Stanley, his name in there. Big, big young defenseman. That's a type of guy that'd be a great bottom pairing guy. And we'll see too. Like Ottawa still has a couple of young guys on their blue line. We don't know what they're going to
exactly.
be.
Exactly. Yeah.
You got Bernard Docker, who I like him a lot. You got Clevin, who's, it's just how quickly are these guys going to develop? How long is it going to take? And that's where the argument of Brännström's a stopgap until those guys develop. And it's just, you don't know with defensemen. You just don't know how long it's going to take. We right. got spoiled here watching Sanderson. Like, that's an anomaly. That doesn't happen. Guys yep. getting that yep. good that quick. Yep.
All right. I just want them to get Connor Hellebuyck. Whatever. Do you? Yeah. Yeah.
Even after watching.
So you tell me, you're lining up at center ice, start the game, and you look back and a Vezina Trophy winner is in the pipes for you. You know right away that you have a chance every night to win a hockey game.
Yes. Agreed.
I don't know. I'm watching Aiden Hill play against a guy that was, they didn't trust him enough to start the Stanley Cup playoffs that they went with. They went with a totally unknown in Florida.
Okay, but let's hang on a sec though. Like Aiden Hill is another anomaly like Jake Sanderson.
Yep.
Steve Penny one time led the Montreal Canadiens, I think, in the playoffs as a rookie, right?
Nice.
Like, let's pump the brakes
so
here.
So did Patrick Waugh. He started sure. as a rookie.
Hey, Ray Emery took the team in 07 to the Cup final, but he wasn't ready to win. We just have to go, hey, wait a sec. You can get on a run, but that doesn't make you a lifetime career goaltender. Connor Hellebuyck has proven time and time again he is a bona fide NHL goaltending superstar.
Really?
Agreed all around. Yep.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yorkie, he's a finalist almost every year for the Vezina. They don't just go, oh, it's Connor Hellebuyck, we're just going to give him the Vezina. He has to earn it.
Well, how did the first round of the playoffs go this year?
Okay, so that's it then. We're going to bail in Boston. We're just going to fold the tent because those guys suck too.
All I can tell you is what I've seen recently. Goaltending to me right now, it's like going to the craps table.
Yeah,
roll the dice, and who the hell knows what
anybody can get hot. But at the same time, there's a difference between an Aiden Hill and Connor Hellebuyck. So if you have a guy like there back there, it does as a team at ease. You got a guy that you know can bail you out.
I'm just trying.
When we had Craig Anderson in net versus when we had
anybody else.
Anybody else in that? Yeah. It changed our team.
Yes.
I'm just trying to be devil's advocate here.
The Ottawa Senators had Dominic Hasek in goal. You don't think that they were like, fuck, let's go.
Okay, let's just stop it right there. Hellebuck's not Dominic Hasek. Just stop it.
That's not what I'm saying. Again, you don't listen to me.
I get what you're saying. But
you just want that guy to make you feel like you're going to win a game. And when you load on Mike Morrison or something, you're not going, boy, we got a chance tonight.
If you got a goalie back there that you know can steal a game, it changes the way your team is. It changes everything. Yes. Mindset.
There you go. Okay, so before we go, I have video of perhaps a no-name or unknown-name coach that could possibly be leading the Ottawa Senators. I got video of who I think could be the next head coach of the Ottawa Senators.
Stop. One more. Two more, actually. Go ahead. Boom.
This
last one, buddy.
This is one Bobby Ryan teaching his son skating at the local rink.
Get in that line.
My little man.
Look at the range with the low riders.
Seems to be demanding.
Little demanding. I'm just trying. Yeah.
Still got edges.
Well, that's his coach in the background, and he was really working hard. So I was like, I think I'll take over today.
Turn the head first and the body follows.
Head first, shoulder second, body follows. And then I'm drilling on those stops and starts early because all I heard my whole career was stop fucking swinging. single coach. But yeah, that's my little guy, Chase. He's up there. We got him out a couple days a week. He's having a blast. And I've been doing a little more coaching every week. So
awesome.
You won't see me behind any benches, not even his. But I will.
Really?
No, I'll always be on the ice. I've got a bunch of offers down here. Yorkie knows the landscape of Nashville hockey.
It's awesome.
They find it's great, but they find out that there's a former player and every organization calls and says, well, you want to be the director of our everything. I'm like, no. I'll be on the ice with Chase and I'll help him and his teammates, but I'm never going to coach. Not a chance. No.
You'll change your mind.
You know what? Everybody's told me that too. And I don't see it.
I said the same thing.
Yeah, I just don't. I don't enjoy it. I don't want to work with parents. I don't want to do any of that kind of stuff. I just want to have some fun, and I'll always teach, but never coach, if that makes sense. And
yep.
Chase is getting really, really good, really quick. I'm having a blast just watching him do it, and he seems to love it.
It'll be the best time of your hockey life, man. Those years, Wally can attest to this. They're the best.
Yeah, I believe it. We're having fun.
Is there a reason why you couldn't get socks for Chase's shin pads?
It's you know what? We do have a pair, and Nashville's a little sparse. So I got to get on the horn with some reps here and get some stuff dialed in. But I was really worried. The first time we put him on, I was really worried that he was just learning. And I ran out and kind of panic bought those. So we didn't have a pair for the – now he won't wear them. So I got to get him dialed in, but he won't wear any of the pads. So we're getting there.
He's all ready for beer league.
He's ready. Exactly. Yeah. But he's gonna if he wants to be a player, he'll be a player. We'll see.
No pressure.
None. None.
But everybody outside will be putting the pressure on, right? Like, that's Bobby Ryan's kid. That's Bobby. Like,
not in Nashville. It's all easy going.
It's true.
Okay. But when you travel,
yeah,
because the U.S. travel circuit is absolutely nuts.
It's ridiculous. Yeah.
I went and played in a team where there was a couple Little Caesars kids and this and that. Like, one kid flew in on a private jet. One kid was like, oh, I'm just going to the beach house after. And other kids were like, oh, the beach house. He's like, what? All my buddies have a beach house. Yeah. So we were probably the poorest people there. I was like, I'm just dropping off the worker over here. It's different.
Yeah. I'm going to try to avoid it as much as I can. That's for sure. Yeah.
Yorkie's got a tea time. So we will see you. We will see you guys later this week with another former Ottawa Senator.
Yes.
It'll be 5 a.m. my time, and I'll be getting – I land at 11:59, and then I have an hour drive. So I'll just be full of piss and vinegar, boys. Can't wait.
A big chew.
All right.
Your big I look forward
to it.
See you, boys.
See you guys. Later.
Coming in Hot is brought to you by Botano.ca. Please hit that like button and subscribe to our channel to never miss an episode.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's GRAMMARLY.com/podcast. Easier said, done.